Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. I don't know about you, but I need him. No, I have. Can you hear me out there? I can speak loudly? Okay. Father in heaven, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, this afternoon. We thank you for the Spirit of God that's already in this house. And Lord, we acknowledge our need for you because it's all about you, Lord. It's not about a meeting, a conference, or people. It's all about you. So we're here to honor you today and to make your name famous, Lord. And we give you glory, praise, and honor. And everybody said, amen. 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 Last night I asked the audience whether or not you ever wanted to change your parents or wish you, when you were a kid now, not now, but when you were a kid, did you ever had a desire to have somebody else as your parents? And some of you said yes. I think that's kind of something that we all go through when we were kids because it looks like your friend's family was a lot more lenient than your parents. Now, I don't know about any of you all, but I grew up in the South. South Carolina is where I was actually born and raised. And but my parents sheltered me a lot. And it's okay to be sheltered, especially in this hour in which we live. Amen. It's okay to shelter your kids because there's so much out there that they don't need to see or hear or learn. So at the time, I didn't appreciate being sheltered, but in the long run, it was a good thing for me. Amen. Amen. I think it helped to form my character as I grew and got older. You did not choose your parents. God did. Amen. You did not choose your parents. God did. Sometimes we wish we had other folks as our parents, but God knew what he was doing when he put you with your parents. And it doesn't matter if they were good parents, bad parents, okay parents, or whatever. God's an all-knowing God. So when he selected you to be born in this particular family, he knew what he was doing because he knows the end from the beginning. Amen. And you are right there in the center of all of that. Billy Graham made a statement, and he said, a child that is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. And I think we can all agree with that. If a child is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents, he will not have true respect for anyone. And I believe we can all say that is so true because look at our nation. Look at our world today. There is no respect for authority. Children don't have any respect for teachers or principals. They don't have any respect for family members, pastors. I mean, you name it. There is so much disrespect. And disrespect and honor can be used interchangeably. So we see that in our society today. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that you may live what? A long life. And as I said the other night, this particular commandment is the only one that comes with a promise. How about that? There are 10 commandments, but the fifth commandment is the only one that comes with a promise, and that promise is longevity, long life. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says the same thing about having to honor your parents and you'll have a long life, but it also says that your life will go well with you. Not that you would live long, but that you would live a full life, full of the profusion of God's grace. And that's how I want to live. Amen. When my father was teaching Sunday school, he was Sunday school superintendent as I was a kid growing up. I was only maybe 7 or 8 years old. And he was teaching on this particular commandment. And when he said, honor your father and mother, it was like a divine threat. I mean, something pierced my heart when my daddy said that. You mean to tell me if I don't honor you, I won't live long? I don't know, for some reason, it just struck me. And I felt like God came down, but it was fear. It was out of fear that I was going to obey my parents because I wanted to live a long life. So, but I later learned the lesson about the love of the Father, the love of my Heavenly Father that He has for me, and I don't have to fear Him or fear obeying my parents. So as a kid, I generally obeyed my parents. I mean, if there were a citizenship award to be given out, I probably would have gotten it. I was the teacher's pet. Do you know what I mean? Anybody in here was ever a teacher's pet? Because I was always the kid that obeyed and always was the kid that listened to what the teacher or whoever, whatever had to say. So I want to challenge you today in your relationship with your parents. Some of you, your parents are already gone home. Some of you, your parents may still be alive. Amen. But even your grandchildren, to maybe give you some tidbits with your grandchildren, how to handle your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren if you happen to have great-grands. But I love 1 Peter 2:17 because it says, we're to honor all people. Not only do we honor our father and our mother, but we're to honor all people, everybody. We're to be respectful to everyone. It doesn't matter what nationality, what creed, what color, what socioeconomic group that you come from. 1 Peter 2:17 says to honor all people. And I forgot to do one thing. I have some scriptures. Most of the scriptures that I'm going to share this today are on these pages. So if you just want to take that, you won't have to write the scriptures down. I already have them typed up for you. But let's make sure that we honor all people, that we love the brotherhood, that we fear God, and that we honor the King. 1 Peter 2:17. Now, I looked at the definition of honor, and in the Hebrew, the definition of honor is to make one honorable. So we are to make our parents honorable. Even though they may not have been honorable in your sight, we are to make them honorable. We are to hold them in high regard. We are to esteem them. And it doesn't matter how you may have been treated by your parents. God says to honor your father and your mother, period. And that's it. Amen. So we're going to be followers of the Word of God. Now, for some people, you know, their lives may seem like it may have taken a wrong turn. That promotion you should have gotten, it went to somebody else. The person that you were in love with left you for somebody else. At the end of the month, it seems like you never have enough money to pay the bills. And if there's a continuous cycle of things going wrong, one after the other, something is out of sorts, wouldn't you say? Something is out of sorts because that's not the way God intended for us to live. He came for us to have a profusion of His goodness and His grace. He came to give us an abundance that we are to live a joyful life despite what things that we might be going through in our bodies or whatever. God still came to that we might have an abundant life. So if your life seems to be just a cycle of things going wrong all the time, we know that something's wrong. And I would examine my relationship with my parents. Bottom line, I'd go back to the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother that you may have a long life and that things will go well with you. So if things aren't going well, we need to find out why things are not going well. So if that's the reason, if you're holding a grudge, or if you're mad, if you're just simply bitter or angry with mom and dad, of course, the answer to that, of course, would be repentance. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But when we look at the fifth commandment, we look at, we're seeing relationship. The Lord is establishing relationships with the fifth commandment. Relationship between child and parents. So the fifth commandment, the sixth commandment, through the tenth commandment, they're all relational. God is concerned about relationships. And he wants us to have good, solid relationships that line up with his word. Amen? Thou shalt not murder. That's your brother, right? Or your sister. Thou shalt not steal. You'd be stealing from your brother or your sister. So you see the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth commandments are all relational. Amen. I love Lamentations 3:26, and I don't believe it's on your paper that I just handed out, but it says, I ran out. Oh, sorry. I got more, yeah. Yeah. Here you go. All right, now remember we said to honor is to show respect and to hold someone in high regard. Lamentations 3:26. Each of us must have discipline in our lives. We have to be disciplined people. We can't avoid it. We can't get around it. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation from the Lord. And it is good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of discipline. So as young children, the Lord wants us, his pattern is for us to submit to the yoke of discipline as a child. And many of us perhaps didn't get that in our homes growing up as children. Amen? Everybody didn't get that. I'm thankful that I did. I'm thankful for my heritage. I'm thankful for praying grandmothers in my family that prayed me through, amen, and prayed for me. So it's good for people to submit at an early age to the yoke of discipline. You learn those things in the home. You learn respect in the home. Amen. You learn honor in the home. So when your child goes out or your grandchildren go out to school, they give regard. They give honor to their principals, their school principals, and people that they come in contact with, and their employer, whoever they may work for on their job. But we have lost so much over the last even 30 years. It's like things have changed. They've been turned topsy-turvy from the time I grew up as a kid and learned respect and honor from my mama and my grandmama and all of those that are around me. Now, when we were once in bondage to sin, when we come into the knowledge of something, when we come into the knowledge and the understanding of something, then that particular bondage in our life should be broken. I think everybody can agree with that, right? When we get the knowledge of it and then the understanding of it, that thing, whatever that bondage is, should be broken in our lives. It doesn't always happen that way, but it should be broken. Wisdom is the principal thing, but in all of your getting, get understanding. So, Lord, I pray for understanding today. Now let's look at some, I'm going to list a few sins here, or bondages here, of things that need to be broken, or can be broken. And the Lord wants us to be overcomers in every area where we have bondages. That's what the workshop, the conference has been all about, redemptive bondage and so forth. Let's look at number one, breaking civil laws taught by parents to obey the law. Your parents had civil laws in the home when you were a kid growing up. Okay, for an example, maybe it was a school night and you had to be in by 9:30, 10 o'clock. Now, if you disobeyed that law, you got in trouble, did you not? That's a civil law, okay? A civil law is a law that your parents put into place in the home, and they expected you to obey it. Now, whether you obey it or not is a different story, but the Lord does require obedience from us. Number two, failing to take care of aged parents. Now, nowadays, a lot of young people don't feel like it's their responsibility to take care of their parents that are older. They stick them in a nursing home and say goodbye pretty much. We have ministered in nursing homes, and we can tell you of countless number of people that don't have anybody coming to visit them. Not one soul ever comes to visit them, and that should not be. That should not be. All right, another sin, cursing your father and mother. Have you ever known anybody to curse their mother and father? I mean, that's just, in my mind, abominable. I would have never, ever thought of cursing back at my parents. But you know, a lot of kids do, and they don't think anything of it. Number four, striking or fighting your parents. Wow. Fighting my mom and dad? I don't want anybody to come under condemnation, okay? If some of these, you may have done some of these things, because all we have to do is repent, and it's under the blood. Amen? Amen. But nowadays, we have parents, we have children that are fighting parents, killing parents. Well, we have parents killing children nowadays. All we have to do is pick up the Atlanta paper. I don't even like looking at the news anymore because there's so much bad news, you know. You don't even want to listen to who killed who and whatnot. But this world is in such bad shape. All right, number five, disobeying your parents or dishonoring them by making fun of them. Have you had a friend or do you know of someone that made fun of their parents for whatever reason or another? That's dishonoring God, and that's dishonoring them to make fun of them. Okay? Number six, what about speaking evil of your parents to somebody else? It may be true, but it's not for you to do, you know? What about filthy talk? Just talking bad about your parents to somebody else. Are you honoring them? Are you bringing honor to their name? Are you esteeming them when you do such a thing? And even when we speak evil of our parents or our grandparents, it's the same thing. We're dishonoring them. You know, my granny wouldn't give me so much money to go on this senior trip, you know. And kids sometimes are just ungrateful, you know. We're living in a time where kids are ungrateful and unthankful. But we as seasoned adults, mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, we need to instill godly principles back into our children once again and not be afraid of them. We're living in a time where I think a lot of our parents are afraid of, they're afraid to spank because they're afraid they're going to go to jail, right? They're afraid that they're going to get in trouble and they will go to jail for spanking their kids, especially in public, you know? But this is such a godless generation in which we're living in, and that's why we need to spend our time in prayer and travail that things will turn around in our nation. Amen. I was reading Romans chapter 1, and when we think of Romans chapter 1, we generally think about homosexuality. But this was a little bit shocking to me myself when I started reading Romans chapter 1. And in verse 30, sandwiched between the slanderers, the haters of God, guess what's in there? Those that are disobedient and disrespectful to parents. I mean, read it. Romans 1, chapter 1. At the very end of the chapter, it lists all of these awful sins, haters of God, slanderers of God. And then right in the middle of all of that is those that are disobedient and disrespectful to parents. So God does not take this lightly. He does not take being disobedient, not honoring your parents. It weighs a lot with the Lord, in other words. It weighs a lot with him. He takes it seriously. All right, now let's take a look at the children of Israel. I love the Old Testament. I love reading about the children of Israel coming out of bondage. I think, Tom, you might have mentioned the Israelites in your workshop this afternoon. But let's go back to the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And of course, we know that everybody in that generation all died off, right? Before entering to the promised land, except for Caleb. And who? Joshua. They were the only two originals that did not die in the wilderness. And in Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 26, we see the death sentence that the Lord himself put on the Israelites. Why? Because of their murmuring and complaining in the desert, right? Amen. All right, so in Numbers 14:26, it talks about the death sentence that was put on the Israelites. Anyone age 21 and above was included in this death sentence. And the only two exceptions, again, was Joshua and Caleb. The word of God says, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, but your children whom you aid would be victims. Your children will be victims. They will be brought in. They are the ones that are going to be brought into the promised land. Your sons will be shepherds and bear the brunt of your infidelity. Generational curses? Can we say that? I mean, this is a generational thing. The Lord is saying that their children will bear the brunt of this. Your sons will be shepherds and bear the brunt of your infidelity. The children all watch their parents die in the wilderness. They all watch their parents die one by one by one in the desert. Now, can you imagine how many funerals that was every day? They were in the wilderness, what, 40 years? Can you imagine the number of funerals that took place as a result of that? Now, their parents were what? Murmurers, complainers, idolaters, deserters of God, all of these things. That's how we can explain or describe what their parents were like. But yet the Lord says, I want you to honor your father and your mother. So these children, they were the victims, but yet they had to obey the word of God. They had to honor their father and their mother, even though they knew that their parents were murmurers, complainers, idolaters, deserters of God, and so on and so forth. God says to honor them, love them, respect them. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, so there were funerals taking place every day. Probably hundreds of them, because I think scholars estimate probably 3 million people coming out of Egypt. That's a lot of people, y'all. That's a lot of people. All right, now some people find it difficult to honor their parents because of abuse. And I can totally and completely understand that, okay? you feel like, you know, your parents don't deserve to be honored. But we need to trust God and obey God, despite how we feel, despite what may have happened to us. Obey the word of the Lord, because that's where the promises lie. You may say, I can't honor them because of what they did to me. You just don't know, Michelle, what they did to me or how they treated me. No, I don't. But maybe they were doing just the best they knew how. They didn't have a manual on how to raise kids, you know. Maybe they were not believers. Maybe they were not Christians. Therefore, they didn't have the Word of God to kind of lead them in the direction that they should go as parents. You know, I don't know. It could be any number of reasons of why they may have abused you. Maybe they had issues of their own, right? Sometimes we were raised by alcoholic parents or parents that were on drugs or parents that were promiscuous, any number of things. But nevertheless, we can't hold that against them, the Lord says. Now, can we do all of this within ourselves? Can we get forgiveness? All, you know, we have to depend on Him, our Maker, our Creator. And He's such a loving God. His arms are always stretched out. His arms are always open to us. You know, all we have to do is submit and come unto Him. Because I know I had friends that were raised by abusive parents. And many times they act because they don't know any different. You know, they don't know any better. They didn't have the proper training as a child to know how to handle certain situations. Now, I want you to hear this. Adult children are not to be subservient to domineering parents. Let that sink in. Amen? Amen. Bad behavior is not to be rewarded. So we have to set boundaries for any kind of abuse. They are not expected to or commanded to disobey God to obey a parent. So our responsibility is to honor them. We honor the role, we honor the position, or we honor the office. But the behavior, no. Now, sometimes there are mothers that might be controlling or domineering with their children, especially with their sons. No, you shouldn't date this girl. You should date that girl because I like this girl. And she tries to set him up. She tries to play Cupid and just, you know, orchestrate his life, so to speak. I don't think you should go to this college. I think you need to go to that college. Just ordering his steps, you know, ordering him 100%. If you're an adult, you don't have to subject yourself to that because God gave your mind a choice. You have a choice in the matter, and you can determine whether or not this is the way that you want to go. But a lot of parents, mothers especially, we don't want to, it's like we take our, God gives us our kids only for a season. And this was something I had to walk through having four boys. He gives them to us. We're like stewards over our own children. We only have them for a season. And it's our responsibility to train them and raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And then we release them. We don't hold on to them. But a lot of parents have a hard time letting go, should I say. We got to let go of our children and let them live their lives, live the lives that God has in store for them. As I said earlier, forgiveness is the key to emancipation from the sin of dishonor. So if you desire wholeness in your life, of course, you must ask God for forgiveness. And it doesn't make any difference if your parents are alive or dead. These could be step-parents. These could be grandparents. Whoever raised you, your guardian, you must ask for forgiveness if you want to be fully used by God. If you want to live in the abundance of what God has in store for you, you got to get forgiveness and settle this issue, settle this matter. And, you know, just because you ask God for forgiveness doesn't mean that there's going to be reconciliation in the relationship, because it may not be. Amen? You can't make somebody love you. You can't make somebody even forgive you, right? But you make sure that your heart is right with God. you make sure that you're clean on the inside, that you're not harboring anything, any guilt or anything against them. Amen? Amen. Everybody knows the basketball player, Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal, basketball fan here. He's retired now. But when he was 21, he wrote a rap song. And the name of that rap song was Biological, comma, Didn't Matter. Anybody hear that rap song or know that rap song? I don't. But anyway, he wrote a rap song entitled Biological Didn't Bother, meaning that his biological dad didn't bother with him. His dad actually deserted him and his mother when he was 6 months old. Just totally disappeared off the scene. And of course he becomes a famous basketball player, and his dad came to one of his basketball games and he said, "That man doesn't exist to me." In his mind, you're not my dad, you didn't raise me. And now you come around because I'm famous now. But praise God, I'm so thankful. I don't know if Shaq has been born again. I don't know anything about his private life or his personal life, but he has a relationship now with his biological dad. His biological dad is in his life, amen? And I don't know what went on. He didn't go into detail about what may have gone down, but he sees him now as his father. So I'm thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I had something here that everybody knows. What's the golfer? Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods had said to a group of people at a U.S. Open, teen open, I think is what he called it. Let me see if I can find it here. Here it is. Tiger Woods. Now listen to what Tiger Woods says. While attending a U.S. Teen Cup golf tournament, he was talking about the president of the United States. And this is what Tiger says. "Well, he's the president of the United States. You have to respect the office. No matter who is in the office, you may like or dislike a personality or the politics, but we must all respect the office." And I thought that was admirable for him. Amen? So we need to respect the office, and especially now, even with President Trump being in office, doesn't matter if you like him or don't like him. God says to pray for those that are in authority over us, and that's our job, is to pray. You don't have to blurt all of your opinions out there because it don't matter anyway, right? It doesn't matter. Another sobering scripture, Proverbs 30:17. I think that one may be on your list. Now listen at this. "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young vultures will devour it." So in other words, judgment will come when there is no honor. That's very, very sobering. Amen. And when we look at the life of Christ, I believe that Jesus is our best example of honor. He honored his parents. He honored Mary and Joseph. Even though he was God manifested in the flesh, I mean, he could have done anything. He was king, you know? But yet, he subjected himself to them as his parents, his earthly parents. So Jesus really is our perfect example of what it means to honor your parents, what it means to esteem them, to regard them, and to honor them. Even as a child, Jesus was subject to his earthly parents. And we see in Luke 2:51, where he went down to Nazareth and with them and was continually, the Bible says he was continually submissive and obedient to them. So if Jesus had to be submitted, how much more should we be submitted to our parents? Okay, so it says he was continually submissive and obedient to them, and his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. So by submitting to his mother and father, Jesus was able to work and grow in an environment in which he was not in charge. He could have been in charge if he wanted to. I mean, after all, he was God. But he did not walk in arrogance. He walked in submission to his earthly parents. And you know what? Jesus learned to show, he learned respect. He learned how to have manners, right? He learned all of these things as a young boy. He learned how to honor others. And so it should be in our own lives. Amen. So if there were no shortcuts for Jesus, why would there be shortcuts for us? I don't think so. I don't think so, even though he was fully God. And the Bible also says in Luke 2:52 that he increased in wisdom, he increased in stature, and he increased in favor. So if Jesus had to increase in wisdom and all of these things, that means that we must increase in wisdom. Amen? There's wisdom out there for us to, we need to be increased in these areas. He increased in stature, and he increased also in favor or character. And character is something that is really lacking in the body of Christ today. That's a whole nether teaching, you know, because our private life should certainly match up with our public life. Many times we live two different lives. We're schizophrenic, so to speak. We have one life we live at home, and another life we live when we're in public. But we need to be real. We need to be real at home. We need to be real when we're out in public. We need to be the same. And that all has to do with the character of a person. Amen. Amen. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been redeemed from all sin, and every bondage. There's nothing that cannot be broken. Honor your father and your mother so that we can be carriers of the promises of God. And if you're having a difficult time with your parents or your grandparents, I think most of us are older in here today. How many of you, your parents are already gone home? Okay, so some of you, your parents are still alive. Amen. Build that relationship with your parents. And even as my husband and I have gotten older, I want to be with my kids. You know, I mean, they're not kids anymore. Our oldest son is 46 years old, but I want to spend time with them. And I tell them, call me. Well, they don't call anymore. They text, you know, but that's okay. Text me, you know, let me know how you're doing. And our boys are pretty obedient boys. You can agree to that. And my husband has been a great example, a great mentor for our sons growing up, because they're gentlemen. And you don't find too many gentlemen around anymore. I mean, a guy that will open a door for a young girl. I mean, usually you honk the horn and they run out and they get in the car. We didn't raise our boys like that. So I am thankful to God for our sons and how we have tried to be good examples for them, godly examples for them. And we've done a pretty good job, I think, thanks to the grace of God, the grace of God and for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But parents, I know as we get older, we do want communication with our kids. We want more communication. And we spend as many vacations together as we possibly can with our kids. We just got back 3 weeks ago from Orlando, and We spent a night at the beach also with our sons and our grandkids, and that was fun, you know, and you need to have those family times together with your children, amen. Bonding and whatnot, and loving on one another, because families don't do that anymore. Everybody's so busy going 50 different directions. We need to focus on family once again, because I think that's one of the weapons of the enemy anyway, is to come in and to divide the family and bring schism and bring division and bring isolation too. He tries to isolate us. Because like I said, you know, there are many in nursing homes today that they don't even visit their family members. And I don't know if it's because they're too busy or just don't care or, you know, whatever may be going on. We need to take on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery. And if there's anything between you and your parents, I mean, if you're holding in any grudges or you're just mad, you're just angry. You know, we heard Nancy share last night about what happened to her as a young child. I mean, it's easy to be hurt and mad at the world. And a lot of times when children act out behavior like that that's not proper, it's because something has gone on in the home that hasn't been dealt with. So I praise God for her being able to share that, because I know a lot of people that we've counseled in the past. They were 40 years old and never told their mother what happened to them, you know, that they were abused by a parent. So if there are things in your heart that you know that are not right, settle it today. Don't leave here today without settling it with God. Settle it with your Heavenly Father, because He loves you. He loves us with an everlasting love. And there's no need to feel guilt or embarrassment. Just lay your heart open. Lay your heart bare before Him today. And let Him have that thing. Give Him that thing. Give Him that bitterness. Give Him that anger. And even if your parent doesn't respond, you know that your heart is right. You know that your heart has been made right with the Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I beg of you today, I know that we're going to pray when Nancy comes in. How much time I got left?